But first, the 2016 Australian Census will be held in August next year, so it's not exactly around the next corner. But it is already causing concern among religious communities. The census asks you to tick a box indicating your religious affiliation. And until now, the option no religion has appeared at the very bottom of the list. Well, from 2016, it's going to appear at the top. And some observers predict that this is going to result in nearly half the population ticking that top box. So the question is, will this change provide a more accurate snapshot of Australia's religious makeup, or will it simply skew the results? Roz Phillips is National Research Officer with the Christian group Family Voice Australia.
My main concern is that it makes sense if you're asking people what religion or denomination they identify with to put a list, and then if none of them apply, you have right down the bottom none of the above, which is effectively the no religion option. So to argue that you've got to change the order, it seems as if there's an underlying agenda to give the none of the above a sort of donkey vote advantage. And that's very concerning, that there should be introduced into this simple question, I thought, a political agenda.
So what are you concerned might follow from moving the option from the bottom of the list to the top?
Well, it's clear that the Rationalist Society, which is behind the move to put it at the top, wanted to get an advantage by having it number one, and a lot of people naturally, if given a list, they'll just, if they don't think about it very much, put number one. And they're hoping to get that sort of advantage so that more people will choose that than other options, and they'll be able to argue to the federal government that chaplains in the Defence Force or chaplains in schools shouldn't be supported.
Roz Phillips. Well, the Rationalist Society of Australia is quite upfront about wanting to see more people tick the no religion box. And they say that listing no religion above other options in the census will actually provide a more accurate picture of Australia's religious makeup. Here's their president, Meredith Doig.
We think there will be a significant change in the figures. The last census recorded about 22% of Australians ticking the no religion box. There were also about 11% who didn't respond to the question at all. And it'd be interesting to see whether that 11% diminishes at the next census or not. We would expect 22% to increase. What it increases to is a matter of conjecture. Bernard Salt, the demographer, has suggested, I note, an order of magnitude, whatever that means, maybe up to about 30, 33%, something like that.
If the position on the question list is important, and if no religion at the bottom of the list has been skewing the numbers, why do you think then that no religion at the top of the list won't simply skew the numbers in a different direction?
Well, I think it'll probably correct a previous skew. In other words, I think putting the no religion at the top of the list will be a much more accurate reflection of the people who genuinely don't follow a religion, don't believe in a supernatural being in the Australian population. I would say, for example, there was a worldwide Gallup poll back in 2012, and that showed that in Australia, 48% of the population who responded to that Gallup poll said that they were not a religious person. 48%, that's almost half of Australians. Now, they might be spiritual, for example, but they responded to that survey saying that they were not a religious person. So we think that the current census figure of 22% is probably an understatement, and bringing the no religion option to the top of the list is going to correct that understatement and come up with a much more accurate figure.
Well, the Australian Bureau of Statistics had a consultation period where they received around 1,000 submissions. 444 of those submissions had to do with religion, and many of them specifically suggested that the no religion option should be at the top of the list. Roz Phillips.
I think that rings a warning bell in my mind. To get out of 1,000 total submissions, nearly half wanting the change in order of the religion question, it really suggests very strongly there's been a campaign there We sent in a submission from Family Voice, but we had no idea there was any controversy about the order. We were concerned about other questions on marriage and so on. If we had known there was a strong campaign to list no religion right at the top of the choices, we would have argued strongly that it remain as it is, and I'm sure a lot of other people would have too. So I don't think that is a fair test of how Australians in general feel about it.
Duncan Young is Census 2016 Program Manager with the Australian Bureau of Statistics. He says that the ABS's decision to change the census form wasn't swayed by the weight of submissions, and that in putting no religion at the top of the list of options, the ABS was responding to a clear trend.
Ultimately, the number of submissions aren't a key factor in our decision on any of the topics. We review all of the topics on the census and we distill the key messages out of the submissions.
So why did the change take place? I mean, was it just a question of, you know, enough people asking for it and then you considered it and did this sort of testing and thought, well, yeah, okay, that makes sense? Were you persuaded that there was a problem with the no religion box being at the bottom of the list?
We'd noticed that the number of responses to no religion had been increasing each census. And so there was a consideration on whether or not we should move a no religion option further up in the question or to the top of a question in a similar way as what we do to a number of other questions like language spoken within my home or country of birth, where the most popular response options are always put to the top. And so when we looked at the no religion question and the responses from last time, now that it was the second most popular option and actually the most popular option in three of the states and both territories, it was our opinion that it made most sense to put it at the top. If we step back a long way, no religion was about one in every 250 responses in 1911, up to one in 15 in 1971, and then up to one in five in 2011.
Duncan Young of the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And on RN, you're listening to the Religion and Ethics Report with me, David Rutledge. Well, as we've heard, there are concerns that as the government uses census figures to determine where our tax money goes, a rise in the no religion cohort could result in reduced funding for religious groups. Meredith Doig of the Rationalist Society of Australia doesn't think that's such a bad thing.
What we would hope is that with a more accurate identification of the number of people who genuinely choose a religious option as opposed to a no religious option, there would be some shift in the fair allocation of resources. And that would probably mean a decrease in the allocation of resources to religious organisations and an increase in the allocation of resources to non-religious organisations, and that's as it should be.
But it brings up this question of what religious organisations do with their money in the first place. And if we just look at church organisations, the mainstream churches in Australia, they use their money for a range of activities that benefit everyone. I mean, isn't it perhaps unfair that their funding should be determined or reduced according to how many self-identified Catholics or Anglicans or whatever happen to be turning up for church every Sunday?
On the contrary, I would actually question whether or not religious organisations use their money always for the benefit of society as a whole. I mean, there are tax exemptions, for example, automatic tax exemptions for closed religious orders that do nothing for society. They just pray. But they get tax exemptions. More broadly speaking, religious organisations get automatic tax exemption for, quote-unquote, advancing religion. That is, advancing something that we would say is an understandable but anachronistic belief in a supernatural being. Look, I do acknowledge that there are religious organisations that do charitable work, genuinely charitable work, and we applaud them for doing that. But they can get tax exemptions for that genuine charitable work.
Well, not all religious groups are particularly alarmed at the prospect of an increase in people ticking the no religion box on next year's census. But that doesn't mean they're entirely happy with the term no religion. Here's Simon Smart of the Centre for Public Christianity.
One of the things I always wanted to ask here is, what does this actually mean? I don't think it's as simple as saying, oh, no religion shows that we've gotten past religion. We've grown out of this. This is sort of a grown-up's world now, and we're sort of beyond all that silly talk. I really don't think that's what we're seeing reflecting here, but we are seeing as kind of a disconnect between people and the institution of the church particularly. And that's a very real and important question to address.
And it's a question that just having a phrase like no religion, it's too broad. Is that what you're saying? It's not subtle enough to gather those distinctions in.
It tells you something, but it doesn't tell you anything like enough. Sometimes when people tick no religion, it could be, oh, I had a bad experience of an Anglican school, you know, and it's a bit of a protest. What it doesn't tell you is what people think about the transcendent aspects of life. It doesn't tell you anything about what people think about the sort of non-material things of life, but that are nonetheless very important to them. And so a census is obviously really important. It tells you something, but I'm someone who would love to see a really comprehensive study into what Australians believe.
Well, on one hand, you know, I think no religion takes in the sort of crusading atheists, if you like. But on the other hand, it also takes in people for whom religion just isn't on their radar. You know, it just doesn't really matter very much. They don't have much to do with it. And if the no religion vote, if you like, increases for those people, I wonder if you feel that in a global context where the world is becoming more religious, not less religious, that's perhaps a little alarming, because this is a time when really we need more religious literacy and more of a sort of a nuanced, engaged understanding of how religions work, and we're losing that in Australia.
I really agree with that. I think people need to understand religion, and I don't think many Australians do. And you're right, religion's growing around the world. You get the sense that it's kind of, you know, it's history here. Certainly not the case around the world. We're the odd ones out in this. I do think this is a question that Australians are very good at distracting themselves from. We're good at entertaining ourselves and have a sort of a quite a superficial understanding of what's being talked about here. That does bother me, that we don't take the religious question seriously. It might be you look at it and you think, well, you know, I don't think there is a God and I need to live accordingly. I just love to tease out the implications of the different systems of belief and have us really engage with that thoroughly.
Mm. And I guess engage with our neighbours who may be first, second generation immigrants who do believe in God, whatever that God is. But it's a certain, I mean, I think it feeds into multiculturalism as well. And of course, the question of Islam, where the lack of understanding about the way that the various Muslim communities work, that's got to be a big issue as well. And maybe, you know, again, this sort of the increase in the no religion cohort is maybe a sign that we're not getting our heads around things that we really should be.
Well, it's not going to get less important, put it that way. And as you say, as the world becomes more complex, at the very least, we want to be able to, you know, have some empathy, to be able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, to be able to understand something of their worldview. I think a good kind of language around that, a good understanding, good education around that is really important. I think we're sort of missing that largely in our country today. I think we're poorer for it.
Simon Smart of the Centre for Public Christianity. And on RN, I'm David Rutledge. You're with the Religion and Ethics Report.